Clean contact.
I'd hit it again, because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.
Welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me over Zoom is Chris Olerking. Chris, what's happening? You got a cool Golden Gate Bridge background. I haven't seen you in, you know, weeks. I haven't talked to you that much. How are you doing?
I'm trying to grow some facial hair. I've been home for feels like a month now. Maybe it's like coming up on 4 weeks I've been home. So in Glenview, things are good. We're hanging in there. Just getting settled with all this stuff. Weather's getting better, so it's nice to get outside in the yard a little bit and staying in touch with students and having them send us, videos of their swing and seeing their home setups. And it's wild, but we're adapting.
Yeah, are you able to actually, or have you been able to get in some work with people, or is it, can anyone go hit any even?
Yeah. So apparently the Glen Club is open to some of our students. I'm not going to name names, but we've got people playing the Glen Club, and apparently it's open, but it's not supposed to be. I don't know. Maybe that's what they told me. No, people got makeshift stuff going on, Logan Dubanski's got his setup in his garage, and Elizabeth Lyons got stuff in her backyard, and Danny Fisher and Lexi's got a golf course in her, but so they're sending videos and taking a look, and people are still working on it. So you never know when the tournaments start, you got to be ready to go.
Be ready. Have you, I guess you should have Danny on this podcast. Have you talked to him since like their season got canceled?
We talked a couple times. He was bummed out, He put 2 months of work in at the Cube in December and January, ready to hit the ground running. And I think they played a few events, and that's it. So, kind of unfortunate for the college kids. But I heard the NCAA is going to allow people to come back for another year if they want to. So schools have to figure out what their plan is, what they're going to do for those students. Did you find out if that applies to North Park?
No, I don't know yet. I think we have some guys who might, we don't have any seniors now, but we have guys who might, whether it's like graduate degree or a lot of people just go do master's stuff right after school anyway. So yeah, might as well play golf.
Why not?
We'll see. All right, well, let's get into it. It's Masters Week, or it would have been Masters Week.
I've got all my memorabilia on my desk here, and it's just making me cry with ball markers, my golf balls, my cups.
Yeah, I mean,
my books.
It's so sad. And so I guess that's why we're here. I wanted to do five podcasts this week on my top five memories of the Masters, and this is kind of personal to me. I couldn't pretend that like Jack Nicklaus in 86, you hear the story, but that's not really my memory, so it's hard to really speak to that. So we've got you here. This is the first one. Jordan Spieth, 2016. I just think of him hitting two balls into the creek, and that moment just stands out to me. Amongst all, it's right up there with Tiger's, Tiger's chip-ins, his wins last year, so many different things. The reason you're here, other than just being a great golf mind, is that you were actually there that week.
Yeah, that was my, I was there with some friends, and we were there Wednesday or Thursday, or Thursday and Friday, I can't remember, but there was a lot of buzz lot of buzz that week from this young man.
Yeah, what do you remember that being like? Because before this, like in 2015, so the year before, he won the Masters, he won the U.S. Open, he was fourth in the British Open, he was second in the PGA, and then, so he's coming into the Masters, defending champ. What do you remember?
Well, I remember, you know, I remember Tiger out? Tiger must have been out during this time. But this was like, you know, when we kind of golf was going down for the people who grew up with Tiger. And then you've got this Jordan Spieth kid who's you know, young and had, you know, obviously fantastic years, you know, as a young person, and just had this like way about him that was like, wow, it seems like he has the maturity to play at this high level, and that you need to play major golf. And he was, you know, the year before 15, he runs away with it, beats Phil by 4 strokes and 18 under par, and was fantastic. And year before that, you know, he finishes T2nd in 2014. So he just has something for this place, right? And he's always talked about Augusta and how he likes it. So, you know, I remember after day one, the Augusta Chronicle newspaper at the house, and Spieth on the front, and you're like, wow, is this guy going to do it again? You know, I mean, he just comes out of the gate so hot, and 66, 6 under day one, looking like he's in prime position, and follows it up with 70, 74, 2 over, and he's in first still, 1 over Rory. And then Rory sort of falters and he had a chance. And boy, like you think about, you know, his back, you know, the end of his front nine, it's just spectacular. I mean, the guy rattles off four birdies in a row, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, people don't birdie 9. You definitely don't birdie 6 and 7 back to back. 8's a birdie hole. So, I mean, he starts the day at 3 under and he turns at 7 under. You're sort of thinking
He was ahead by 5 with 9 left.
Wow.
I mean, I've never, can you remember any other situation even close to this of someone like at the peak of their powers? Like he almost, this was, you know, a couple breaks here and there. This could have been like 5 majors in a row for him to win, because he was really close at the British and PGA.
Yeah.
And then he birdies 4 in a row to take a 5-shot lead with 9 to play at a tournament that he just won by 4 the year before. And he just collapses.
Yeah. Yeah. He starts 10's a tough golf hole, makes bogey. People make bogeys there. 11, like, he's even tougher. He makes another bogey. You still think he's like, he's got a 3-shot lead still. He's fine. It didn't seem like anyone's threatening him at that point. And in number 12, I got to say, I sat at, we've got some friends, the Mankoff family from Lake Forest, and they, we saw them sitting on the front row right behind the tee box on 12, and went down there, said hello, said, how in the world did you get these seats? And they said, well, you know, Chris, why don't you sit here for an hour? I'm going to go get something to drink. Mr. Mankoff leaves and lets me sit in the seat. And you can hear the conversations of the caddy and the players on 12. I'm telling you, when you sit there, it doesn't look like it's a hard hole. It looks like what is the big deal? But obviously it's a narrow green. They're always checking the wind. The wind is always swirling there. I think the way the green is pitched, that it when the pin's right, it's a little bit more carry than if the pin is left. And and it's just a hole that just drives people berserk. And so I think it hits it off the bank, rolls it in on the first one, right? Hits a little flare.
Yeah, he hits a flare, goes in. So I found this article about it that Spieth said after the round, it was 155 yards, par three. Greller and him, they're like, it's a stock, just a draw, his normal shot. But then he said, standing over the ball, he got in mind to play a fade, like while he's standing over the ball. And it's like,
with the right pin?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fade's better, but to, yikes.
Yeah. And in 2014, so 2 years before, he had also hit a ball into the hazard on the same day where he lost the two-stroke lead. That's where he finished second. He said he didn't take that extra deep breath and focus on his line. He just put a quick swing on it. Then, which is wild. How do you... The reason I think some of this is so interesting is that it seems like he makes these obvious mistakes, but also at the same time, how do you criticize someone who's has such the record and is on such a streak that he's on at that time? It doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, you think about the sort of the roller coaster of the round, you know, I mean, he birdies the last four holes on the front to shoot four under. And then he goes bogey, bogey. So you got to think like his, I mean, if he was kind of going on cruise control, you would think that he would grab his focus on that tee box. Like, okay, listen, we got to hit a shot here. We got to make a swing. But, you know, Spieth's always like, I've always wondered about him. His mannerisms are kind of quick and he's kind of jittery a little bit. And I always wonder, like, is this going to last? Is this going to like just eat him alive? Is his nervous system just being just chomped up? Yeah. And you wonder if just like that moment was just too big that he was starting to skip steps, right? I mean, take that last breath. That sort of stuff. Just the indecision over the ball, like what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, it's wild. And I rewatched it last night, and then he goes and drops like 80 yards from the pin on this kind of weird downhill spot where people don't really hit shots from there. I wonder, like, would you, if you personally were playing that hole, would you re-hit it or drop?
I think it's always easy to hit from the same spot you just hit from, you know, yeah. I mean, as an accomplished golfer, speaking of him, I mean, even at our level, like when you miss a shot, like if you get another a chance from there, like you never hit the same shot twice because you feel what errors you've made. You understand where you may have lacked commitment or, you know, if you weren't aggressive. And so dropping another one and going. And I think, you know, I think at that moment he probably just felt like, hey, I need to take some time here. Like I just need to let this settle in. Cause maybe he felt like he was rushing. And, so maybe like walking up to the drop zone was like, he felt like it was a good thing to do to settle him down. But certainly if I was on the bag, I would have suggested we just hit the tee shot again. But I don't know. It's also Jordan Spieth from 80 yards, Andy. I mean, like, come on. Like, can you do that in your, like, with your eyes closed? You could.
I don't know. I mean, the idea, I just think, and I haven't been there. Isn't it a steep slope down to the water?
No.
Or is it flat?
Not until you get to the water.
Okay, so he had a flat spot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maybe it's a little down, but I wouldn't say it's anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever play basketball growing up?
Yeah.
Did you ever get to shoot like the technical free throw whenever there's a technical foul?
I was the guy.
You were the guy.
Yeah, I was the technical free throw shooter.
Were you good at it? At the technical free throws?
Nope.
Yeah, cuz you're out there just standing in this spot all by yourself and you know that everyone's watching you. And I wonder if that's like what I thought of him when he goes and drops in this spot.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, like that part of the course, you're kind of, there's only spectators behind you, right? There's nobody on 13T, 13, 12 green. Like, there's no one back there. But still, you are like, you are kind of just out there in the middle of the desert, kind of by yourself at that point, and you're choking yeah. hard.
Well, I mean, you get self-conscious. You're just like, I'm not supposed to be here. Nobody's here. You start overthinking something. I don't know. It's really crazy.
It's a fascinating game.
Yeah. Because he hit that shot so bad, it didn't even make it to the other side.
He chunked that one. Yeah.
He was on the No Laying Up podcast a little while ago. Spieth was. And he talked about how after Saturday... So Saturday, he ended with he finished bogey and then double bogey on Saturday. Blocked two drives way right into the trees. And then normally he like calls his coach or texts with his coach, Cameron McCormick, after each round. But this time he actually made him fly in to Augusta from Texas to work on his swing Sunday morning. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, like, he also made a double on 11 that on the third round. And so I don't know if you've hit a flare there, but usually you don't miss left. So he probably flared one right. I mean, you got to trust the player's like instinct. Like, you know, if you would think that a Jordan Spieth would understand what causes those misses and what the known solutions are. But if you can't feel it, like there's this doubt, and maybe, I mean, he's worked with Cameron McCormick since he was a young kid. So maybe he just needed the confidence from his coach just to see him and say, yes, that's it. And just keep giving him what he needs. There's a story years ago when Tiger hit 18 greens of regulation in a tournament and third round, and he goes into the last round like three shots down to Vijay Singh, and he talks to his coach Hank Haney, and he says, "How'd you hit it?" And he said, "Not very good. I don't, you know." And he said, "Well, you hit 18 greens," and like tour pros know when they just don't have it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Tiger knew that, hey, this is not going to get it done tomorrow. And I think that Spieth recognized the pressure that he's going to be feeling out there, and just was like, hey, what I got going right now is I got nothing going, and I need something. And now it is weird to Sunday morning to wake up and go to Augusta National in the morning and go through this session with his coach, and then go back home. Right, because he's not teeing off till like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
and then go back and go through his whole routine again. I mean, that's definitely out of his routine for, you know, a major championship, you would think. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it worked for 9 holes, and then it all fell apart. It's, you know, it would be one thing if he started off being terrible right off the bat, but it's still. I just thought that was fascinating. I mean, we talk as a staff about like how do we empower our students so they don't like need us for everything, but then you have Spieth, who like clearly
number one player in the world,
yeah, like couldn't figure it out on his own.
That's just, yeah, and you know, like he just needed the confidence of his coach, right? It's not like his coach told him something he's never heard before, right?
Yeah,
it's not that there was like some new problem, but there probably is that comfort. And we see that, right? I mean,
for sure.
As I get these videos from students right now, and they're sending me videos, like my first question to them is like, well, what do you see? You know, like trying to get them to be a little bit more independent and take some ownership over what they're doing. So hopefully they're not listening to this podcast.
Well, hopefully they are, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can learn from it. I sent you a podcast last week of Mark Immelman interviewing Scott Fawcett. He's like a course guy. We talked about it a little bit, but one of the big things Scott Fawcett talks about in course management is like choosing a target and hitting hitting like to that target. He talks about how Tiger has a quote where they asked if he plays aggressive or conservative, and Tiger says he plays aggressively to like his spot, or to like his conservative spot. And I think you see, so that means if your target is at the middle of the green and the pin is to the right, you're actually trying to curve it towards that target, not start at the target and let it curve to the pin. And I think number 12 at Augusta's, like as we've seen this past year and with Spieth, it's caught these guys up. That Tiger famously, you know, in 2019, hits it right to the fat part of the green, while Molinari, Koepka,
Funai,
they all... Yeah, Bryce Funai hits it into the water. One of our favorite students, Finau.
Yeah,
right. They all hit it into the water because, like, if you aim at that pin, you miss it a little bit right, it's going short.
Yeah, yeah. But you know who hit it? Who hit it tight there? Also, about maybe about 6 years ago, a little same pin location, 5-iron. Peter Donahue.
Oh.
Peter birdied that hole. He had a fade 5-iron there when he played, got invited years ago, and he knocked it to like 3 feet or something like that. So, I mean, Pete can handle it.
Yeah, you'd think these guys could. But it was just such, like, Tiger took seems to take a different line than everyone else, and he's the best player ever. So why don't these guys figure it out?
Yeah, it almost seems too simple, I think, Andy. You know, it's like, I think Tiger's discipline just keeps him on the game plan, that he knows that if he executes the game plan, it's going to work out in his favor majority of the time. And I think his formula, he's got it figured out to that level. And maybe these guys just don't. And so maybe they may have a game plan, but they're deviating throughout the round based upon the situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how simple it sounds. Like, well, Tiger just makes a smart play and hits it to the middle of the green. But it's so hard for people to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost...
Yeah. Well, like, let's be honest. Like, these guys are like a 9-iron for, you know, best players in the world. Like, why can I not fire at that flag, you know? Right. I mean, but I just think the discipline, like, just knowing that hole. Like, Jack Nicklaus said that you just go for the middle of the green. Like, that's, I mean... He's won 18 majors, and he's saying that's the play on that hole. There's a reason for that, right? I mean, there's some knowledge there of the wind and that sort of thing. That's the play.
Yeah, it's great. So, Spieth does that. He is a major champion for sure. Again, right? He's up by so much at that point.
And you wonder if that changes his trajectory. You know, I remember people saying, hey, is he going to – just going to really affect him? Is he going to lose it? And, you know, I mean, listen, he won the Open Championship the following year. You know, in 18, he was third at the Masters. So I don't think he had some other troubles. And I know you and I debate on him a little bit. And he's certainly, you know, going through a period right now. He's struggling, but I thought he rebounded pretty well after that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. To win, you know, you almost forget about that British Open win the next year, but that was another one, like, where he gets all jittery, you know? He did the same thing on that hole in the British Open, where he puts his hands on his head after he hits a shot, and it's like, dude, you gotta relax.
And he hit one of those big flares, and he found it like on the driving range, and he had a great, you know, he got lucky that he could find it.
Well, he found it in like the dune, and then he dropped onto the driving range. He like took an unplayable and found out that the driving range was in bounds, and then hit it. So, yeah, my wife hates him for that because she's like, he's being so rude to Kuchar, like made him wait so long, but she doesn't quite understand. One more thing about Spieth. He, on that No Lane Up podcast, he said that one of the reasons he loves Augusta is that it's so the ground, he never have a flat lie, and that it's always like ball above your feet, below your feet. And so like that opens up his like mind to be more creative or more, you know, more creative out there, I think. And his results have really spoken for it. What is, I guess, from someone who's been there so many times, like, what's the ground like compared to other courses?
Well, there's a lot of slope. There's a lot of up and down. And then there's also a lot of, you know, side hill lies. And so I remember hearing Cameron McCormick speak in 2015, 2 months before the Masters. And he was talking about their preparation for it, for the tournament. And Spieth had a game on the TrackMan that he was, you know, that he was doing where he was hitting shots that had to land within 2 yards of a carry number, and he would draw them through a launch window, and he would cut them through a launch window and hit them straight. And he would go low, medium, high, and he would go through all his clubs. And that it shows you, number one, how good of a ball striker he was. And I still believe, you know, he'll work through what he's working on right now. But he has this ability to see shots and produce them. And Augusta is probably the course that demands the most of that, because you're landing the ball within, you know, 2 feet of your spot. You're hitting off hanging lies. You're playing it off mound. I mean, there's no course that there's more drama than Augusta National, and it's because the green complexes that pins are tucked in spots that look impossible. But if you know the green, there's a spot you can hit on the green that will rebound the ball towards the flag. And so I think it engages the mind from the lie through the flight, through the landing spot and the rollout. You know, and so I just think that for a golfer that you're just, your awareness is heightened so high. That's why I think Bubba Watson plays well there. Tiger Woods plays well there. Jordan Spieth plays well there.
Random people like Fred Couples and Bernard Langer are like always in the top 10 for like the first 2 days, even now. And then I think starts hurting, but.
And I think those guys, it's just the knowledge. I think it's just the course knowledge that they know. I mean, the young guys are always dying to play with the older guys at the Masters in the practice rounds, because it's like it's the information that's almost supersedes the ability.
Yeah. The rumor is they're going to move the Masters to November. You heard about that at all?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, apparently.
And then play it in April? That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. So we'll see, you know.
Seems, 6 months from each other?
Yeah. But I apparently be so different. Like, there's a lot of flowers and stuff, right? Like, all those flowers, the magnolias, they wouldn't be – they'd all be dead or not dead, but, you know, whatever
happens in the winter. Yeah, the azaleas too. It would look different on TV, but I'm sure those guys would figure – they turn on the sub air and they get the moisture going. They'd get those. They'd bloom them again in November.
Figure it out. Okay, cool. Let's end there. Chris, thanks. Enjoy your Masters week without the Masters.
I will. No, I won't. Thanks, Andy. Yeah. See ya.
I hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment. For the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes. Okay.